Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. 2026. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. Happy New Year. Happy New Year's Day. I'm your host, and we're a law enforcement talk show. We talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the panelists. And guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have two Secret Service special agents in charge, retired Rich Steripoli, Frank Loveridge. And look, these guys appear on network TV, but they don't let them appear together. And you are about to find out why. You know, there's that movie with Will Ferrell, the shake and bake thing. I can't remember the name of it. What was it called? It's the shake. They stole the tag. You think that the tagline shake and bake came from the movie? No. They stole it from Frank and Rich. They're the original shake and bake team. And then what was the name of that movie?
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. Yeah. You're right. So yeah. You should have put, you know, the only flaw in this relationship is that you should have trademarked that name, that caption, so you could get royalties every time they use it in the movie. I'm just saying. So, but thanks for being on the show, guys. Rich.
Well, I was going to say the only other flaw is we really don't like each other. So that just adds to it. Right, Frank?
Now you guys can see why they don't allow them to appear together on network TV. And so I know you guys were probably doing the party thing last night. I know how you guys roll. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let me give a credit and a shout out to our sponsors. And speaking of sponsors, you know, our title sponsor, Goals at Goals.com. Rich and I were on talking with Mike Fadden on LinkedIn, and we're promoting some of the Goals gear and stuff. And that was a lot of fun yesterday. So Goals.com, more information about them coming up. We have ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we got on satellite radio on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, and we've been killing it ever since. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. We have gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, during the live show right now, we're streaming to over 1 million followers thanks to Safeguard Recruiting. And twobells.com, they built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. So if you want to get cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing, or maybe even the coffee, they got the new coffee mugs that are actually larger than this one. I can see it's catching Rich's eye. They're available at leoroundtable.com as well, that online store that they built for us. So check that out. FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter in the Orlando area. So next time you guys go to Disney, drop the wife and the kids off, hand them the credit card or a load of cash, and then hook up with Zach at FishOrlandoBass.com and do the bass fishing charter. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, do the alligator hunting. And that's correct. I am talking. That's right, Frank. The wild Florida alligator you can catch and relocate. You don't kill the baby alligator, but you catch and relocate the alligator. And I say baby. These are potentially some big suckers. So anyhow, FishOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now let me whet the appetite. What in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, I was watching the news cycle. It's New Year's Day. That means last night was New Year's Eve night. And I was waiting for something to happen. So yeah, the headline we're going to be covering, and it's titled Around 40 Dead and At Least 100 Injured. And Frank's got an update on that one. After horror New Year's Eve explosion at a packed ski resort bar in Crans, Montana. And so when I'm in bed, checking out my phone for the news, and I read Montana, I'm thinking, crap, this is the freaking States and it's not Switzerland, but we're going to be, covering that. But there were some updates, that Frank's going to make us aware of. We've got a watchdog group demanding answers after an unbelievable security lapse by Trump's Secret Service team. And these guys are going to kill it on that. And then we've got another update. We covered this last week. FBI raided the home of a Secret Service agent in a tax fraud investigation. They didn't give the agent's name or the company. I had all that information in the show last week. I didn't release it because it wasn't out there, but they made it so easy to find because the article was giving quotes on the purpose of the 501c3, and I just typed it in, and up popped the guy's name, Secret Service agent, former NFL, all that stuff. So we'll be talking about that. Judge Dugan could be impeached before she gets sentenced. That name might sound familiar. We'll talk about that. We have a suicidal guy with a knife fatally shot by San Diego County Sheriff's deputy after he calls 911. And then Monterey County deputy shot an armed man through the windshield. police officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop. That still happened. Then Waterbury detective justified in returning fire after being shot by a carjacking suspect. So that's the news. Before we get going into all that, how did you guys spend your New Year's Eve? That's what I would like to know. How do you guys roll, Rich?
It was just a quiet one here at home. You know, Chip, people ask me all the time, you're a New York guy. Have you ever been to, Times Square for New Year's Eve? There is no way I'd go near Times Square on New Year's Eve.
I thought you'd be with Laura Ingraham hanging out at the house, breaking bread, yeah. You and Frank.
As long as she wasn't in Times Square, there is always that possibility, right? But if you've never been around a crowd of a million people penned up, and I do mean penned up, once you're in there, you're not allowed to leave. So you got to figure out on your own what you do about facilities. You're there. So people get there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're there till a little after midnight. Oh. And it's never been 80 degrees on New Year's Eve in Times Square, right, Frank?
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. It's been a while since I've worn diapers, and I'm not about to start wearing diapers now either.
Right. That was my next question. How do they handle the bathroom facilities with that many people in a confined area and they can't leave? How do you do that?
Well, it depends. It's not for
depends.
It's not just for people with bladder control problems.
Well, we have a thing called Gasparilla here in Tampa, and it's a pirate invasion, and so we're there. You're on your feet, and you're there for hours, and I mean like forever. So I don't drink, I don't drink liquids. I don't hydrate, because if you've got to go to the bathroom, that's simply not an option. Yep. And then if you're lucky, you may be able to get someone to finally get to you to give you a brief relief, and then you can find somewhere to go pee. And guess what? A lot of times it's not a porta john. You're just doing it behind a building or something. It's usually dark at night. At that point, it's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in a small confined area, and you can't even freaking move, I didn't drink liquid, but as I got older, that caught up with me. So I have to drink liquid now, but back when you're young and you're not drinking, you're not cramping up. You're not like on the ground doing like this. Which is what happens to me now if I don't hydrate, So I like the way you guys roll. That's smart thinking. I went to a local place right around the corner here, and my wife and I sat at the bar. We ordered food, had a couple drinks, met some people, talked to them, and it was nice. It was safe. Of course, I'm there looking at the doorway and stuff, but not a venue that would be attractive to people to do anything stupid at. So
same thing here, Chip. Went out, had a nice dinner with the family. We had about 5 o'clock reservations, and by 7:30 we were back home and watched the ball dropped, watched the Nashville special, and called it a night. Quiet.
All right. Smart. Well, guys, let's cover the Switzerland thing first, if that's okay. And there's not a lot of information, but I know, Frank, I know you've got some update stuff, but just what I had as of this morning on newsbreak.com, around 40 dead and at least 100 injured after a horror New Year's Eve explosion at a packed ski resort bar in Crans, Montana. So that's Switzerland, as I said earlier. And look, there's some new information that might question whether or not it was, in fact, a terrorist attack or not, that Frank will get into. But this, at least this morning, initially 9 hours ago, they said that around 40 people had been killed in an explosion at a ski resort bar in Switzerland with at least 100 people injured. I found out later in the article that it was actually a basement setting the bar. The blast ripped through a packed tourist bar in Crans, Montana, and a fire erupted afterwards. The Valais Cantonal Police, the chief Frederick Gisler, said that dozens of people are presumed to have died in the blast at the La Constellation bar. And it goes on to say that two French nationals have been confirmed as among the victims. And a fire was reported at 1:30 a.m. local time, so an hour and a half after the ball dropped. And that's when they saw smoke coming from the venue. And we have an attorney general, Beatrice Palau, saying that, quote, there is absolutely no question of a terrorist attack, unquote. But as I understand from Frank, that there may be a question now. The venue can actually hold over 300 people within the bar, which is kind of like, it's a basement. 300 people in a basement setting. And if you're talking about a bomb in a basement, it's like... Well, the picture that I'm getting, it's not pretty. They had 10 helicopters, 40 ambulances, 150 emergency responders. The hospitals, the venues are full. Burn victims, they're telling people don't even use emergency services because we are like past capacity. So that said, Frank, I know you have an update, and Rich, I know your mic's open too. We got 54 seconds before we take our first commercial break. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, Chip, there's really not a lot of information out there right now. They're still trying to determine whether it was an accident or a terrorist attack. So I would say that I think an investigation needs to be done. But reports that I'm seeing right now on Reuters, which are only 2 hours old, and other news agencies and open source are saying that it is unknown right now the cause for the fire and explosion. So I think we have to table this for now and let the investigation take place. But I would tell you, obviously, it's very suspicious. And also that statement that was made earlier, I think would definitely lead you to believe that we need to take a good look at this and get this thing solved.
Well, perfect timing, Frank. Time for a first commercial break with Gauls. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, we get a lot of gear, right? And then when you throw the online option, the choices are almost limitless. But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here, especially as we enter the new year. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. A lot of guys say they do, but guess what? Do they really? And you know, I don't know if a company does it better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this, even their motto, it's proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk, I almost did like the little Boston accent. They support dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they're going to do you one better for the loyal listeners of the show. They've been giving away gift cards and for everybody. So we're going to give away one today, a $50 Gauls gift card. And you guys can get one for your family, friends, and loved ones as well at Gauls.com. And they will be your new best friends. If you haven't been there lately, check out Gauls at Gauls.com and all the gear. You'll be very glad that you did. And now, guys, we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And look, we all know about our favorite product that they have. It's called the glove, but they have more stuff. In today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those in the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect Nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectant and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. We're not done. They continue to kill for up to how long? 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You're going to learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. And hey, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Secret Service Special Agents in Charge, Rich Terapoli and Frank Loveridge, the dynamic duo, the shake and bake team. And of course, you guys get to witness, you know, firsthand, live, why the networks don't let these guys on together. So thanks so much for being on the show, guys. We've been talking about, I'm going to say explosion for now. That happened at a crowded ski resort bar in Switzerland, a basement bar. And Frank just gave an update on, now there seems to be a question whether it really was a terrorist attack after the AG over there kind of confirmed that it was. So we're going to, you know, it's not unusual when these things happen. There is some misinformation that gets out there. It's just, you know what it is? It's the human factor. There's humans involved in this. You can't get too critical or be too picky. Anyhow, so there's going to be mistakes that are made. That said, is there anything else in reference? I know, Rich, anything you want to add on this one?
Well, I think just one thing I'll add is that's a pretty bold statement of the Attorney General to put out. That was pretty confidently said, but you also have to keep in mind, we don't know what she's referring to when she says terrorist, right? Here in the States, we're thinking of ISIS or, you know, the jihadists that are out there. For all we know, they've got a small fringe group that likes to build bombs and, you know, blow up local businesses, right? So their version of terrorists might be different than what we're thinking. So we just have to wait and see what comes out of this thing.
Yeah, and I seriously doubt, I'm pretty sure she was not there on the scene. She's relying on information that's being fed to her from what source, you know? So, but I bet she'll never make, if it's not true, I bet she'll never make that mistake again.
No kidding.
She's going to pay publicly for it a little bit. Let's move on. And I know this is going to be in your wheelhouse. NewYorkPost.com Watchdog Group demands answers after unbelievable security lapse by Trump's Secret Service team. Wow. So here we go. And I got the perfect guys on to cover this. The Secret Service continues to endanger the president's life with lax security in government, sitting on information that might expose recent failures, which allowed President Trump to get shouted down by Code Pink protesters during a recent outing to a Washington, D.C. restaurant and Advocate Sphere. So it goes on to say that this is Tom Fitton with Judicial Watch. He told the Post that, hey, I'm just really concerned about the president's safety. And it sounds, I got to say, it sounds like he genuinely is. And he goes on to say that he was, speaking about the president, he was almost killed twice, supposedly under the protection of the Secret Service. And then they walked him into a potentially dangerous ambush. And this is, he's talking about the September incident at Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. And a lawsuit demanding that the government actually hand over internal communications relating to an incident where Trump dined and faced Chance. And most people probably seen the video and remember this. He was getting a Chance from protesters who appeared to have advance notice that he was actually going to be there. The watchdog group has been trying for 3 months to get the information on how the protesters got seemed to get advance notice that Trump was actually going to be there. And because these are closely held movements, right? It's not out for general knowledge. The people were allowed to get within an arm's length of the sitting president, and they had knives and who knows what else in the restaurant available to them, according to Fitton. Judicial Watch filed this lawsuit back on December the 18th in Washington, D.C. federal court, seeking, quote, all internal emails and text messages among you, United States Secret Service officials in the Presidential Protective Division regarding the presence of Code Pink protesters, unquote, at the eatery. It also wants all emails sent between Secret Service officials on any email account ending in codepink.org. And the government allegedly ignored the December 9th deadline to come up with the information, according to the Freedom of Information Act. So that's a little concerning. And protesters inside and outside the restaurant, they chanted about Palestine. So that kind of puts you like in their head how motivated they were. And protesters seated near him were comparing him to Hitler. Trump dined on September 9th. He was with J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth at this seafood and steak joint. It sounds like a pretty cool place to eat, actually, but I wouldn't want to be there under those conditions. Frank, you want to start us off?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say that this was an off-the-record movement, which means this movement was not on the presidential calendar. So the way they treated this was not a full advance that they would normally do for a regular site that they were going to. So the way to keep this, to be able to do this OTR, is to make sure you keep it secretive, that nobody knows the president is going there, so nobody can find out. But go ahead, Chip.
Let me ask you something. So I've done a ton of Secret Service local law enforcement details in conjunction with Secret Service. And so on a lot of these things, I mean, the president or the VP will all of a sudden say, you know what? I want a Cuban sandwich. Let's go to La Terracita. Mm-hmm. And dude, it is like the scramble is freaking on. You've got an advanced team going to the restaurant, securing it and all that. So is that what happened here? Or was it more planned out than that, do you think? Or could it have just been like a spur of the moment thing? Or
well, somebody had reserved those tables to make sure those tables were secured. Okay. So that probably happened at least hours before the president actually went. And something else you'll remember, there was another OTR that we had a problem with. And that was Mar-a-Lago. If you remember that correctly, on the golf course, the Trump International Golf Course. That was also an OTR. And I was on another network or a network where I talked about the problems with the OTRs is you can't keep this secretive. And also you can't stop predictive analysis. People know on a Sunday afternoon, the president's going to golf. There's a golf course right there adjacent to it. It's named after him. Of course he's going there. So there you had Ryan Ruth sitting out there for 12 hours. If we did a proper advance, he would have been detected. But we didn't do a proper advance. We treated it as an OTR, an off-the-record movement. Same thing happened at the steakhouse as well. They treated it as an OTR. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Chip, and Rich, you'll vouch for me on this one. When you start talking to people and you start showing up at these venues, trying to keep it secretive, it leaks out. And somebody leaked it out, and Code Pink showed up. There's no way they would have just happened to be there. And they had tables literally right next to his table. What if that was a suicide bomber? What if they secreted weapons before the Secret Service actually got there and had a weapon available? Heck, they had knives and forks. At least, I mean, this was a dangerous situation. And you said it best, Chip. It wasn't just the President of the United States. It was the Vice President of the United States. It was also the Secretary of State. We had a continuity of government in that restaurant that could have been taken out. Richie, what do you think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. But, you know, let's back up a little bit here, right? This speaks to the leadership of the Secret Service. You know, we've said, and I don't think anyone will disagree with me, Donald Trump is probably the number one threat on everyone's target list in the world, and one of the most polarizing figures we've certainly seen in our lifetime. You know, how do you treat this guy as a former president, let alone allow him to operate under the conditions of an off-the-record movement? That's just a total breakdown in communication.
Stop the OTRs, period.
Right.
Thanks, guys. Time for our second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. You know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they already hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, but they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on the primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by retired Secret Service Special Agents in Charge Frank Loveridge and Rich Garipoli. We've been talking about Secret Service details dropping the ball where President Trump is concerned, and organizations trying to get communications to find out some inside scoop on that. Any more commentary on that, guys? Are you ready to go on to the second Secret Service story? Frank Loveridge.
Yeah, Chip, I just want to say one thing. I am not pointing a finger at any Secret Service agent that blatantly let this information out that caused this disturbance. I mean, I know that's been, they're looking at email messages and text messages. They're trying to get that from a FOIA request on the agents. I'm not saying that could happen, but I would just say these OTRs, we have to stop doing these, because the information does get out, whether it's leaked out inadvertently or whatever, but it did get out. It could cost the president his life. So let's put an end to it.
Yeah, good. I love learning new things, and there was some, I've learned quite a bit already on the show, on today's show, you know, so thanks so much for sharing that with us. Rich, final words?
Well, I think the other problem that I have is the laissez-faire attitude of the Secret Service, you know, management in particular, following all these incidents. It's almost as if, you know, as every incident unfolds and something else happens, they just say, yeah, okay, no big deal. And they just move on and carry on as business as usual, to include not answering these FOIA requests. What do they think? This is just going to go away. But, you know, they don't seem to act on anything, Frank. And that, you know, that's a big problem here.
Well, are you guys ready to move on to the next Secret Service one?
Sure. Oh, you know, yeah. Why not? We got another one. Sure.
I'm just trying to think, would we even have a show if it wasn't for the Secret Service? I'm just wondering, would we? Do you think
we wouldn't be on it?
We'd have nothing to talk about.
That's right.
All right. So, the postmillennial.com. So look, this is, you guys, I'm relying on you guys to provide some updates to this. We have previously covered this, but at the time it was breaking news last week, the FBI raided the home of a Secret Service agent in a tax fraud investigation. Just kind of refreshing everybody's mind. It was originally Real Clear Politics is where I heard about it from. Thanks to Rich gave me that source. And I'll tell you, I've been getting some great stories from them. The case involves millions of dollars in donation as well as grants, and the raid took place on around December the 8th. Multiple sources told the outlet that the fraud scheme, it was linked to the agent, and the official accepted donations to a charity that claims to support inner city youth as well as to domestic violence victims. The Secret Service agent is on unpaid administrative leave, according to the article, and has been stripped of a security clearance, ouch, according to the outlet. But the agent, they said, at least at this point in time, had not been arrested. And in addition to the fraud charges, the Secret Service agent, they said, could face internal insider threat allegations over poor judgment. And it kind of goes on and on. The agent in question currently served on the Vice President J.D. Vance's detail, and he started that previous to the Trump administration. And it kind of goes on from there. There was enough stuff in there to give me the name of his, he's actually got two 501c3s, and his name, former NFL player, according to, you know, my sources and stuff. So any new information that you guys are aware of in this? It is a little alarming. I know that when I was looking at the 501c3s, what became very apparent to me was I was just trying to look and see if there was going to be a white person listed on the board of directors. And I finally found an Asian, and I think I found one white female, and everybody else, was black. And I only reason why it stuck out, so many people talk about, you know, diversity. I think you should get the best people for the job, not regardless of, you know, race and sex and stuff. But I got to admit, when I was looking at the charity makeup, that was the first thing that I noticed. Frank Leverage.
Just real quick, I want to say that, first of all, I had two assignments in the Office of Professional Responsibility as an inspector. And when someone has their clearance revoked and is put on unpaid leave, there's something there. So the internal investigation has something been identified to legitimize these complaints that are being made. Now, once again, they are still alleged, but I also saw something that was very disturbing, that there were other agents that were donating and might have gotten paid back as part of salaries, which is something they're looking into as well. Now, my question is that how could they get this off-duty employment approved? He's on the vice president's detail. You don't think he's busy enough protecting the vice president of the United States that he could do a part-time job or work on a part-time effort like this? Yeah, it sounds like a great cause, but now you're seeing, when you start to peel back the onion, that there's more to it than that. And another thing I want to say, and I know Rich is going to jump right in on this, is that he was all over social media. I looked at his social media profile. This should have been caught. Someone should have seen this. He was grandstanding on social media. This is a person who is responsible for the life of the vice president of the United States, who's out there. Rich will tell you, we didn't even have LinkedIn when we were agents. When you're on the detail, you had no social media. You didn't get involved in it. You didn't get your name out there. You stayed below the radar. This guy was above the radar at all times. Terrible. And they should have known this. Supervisor should have known this. He should have been called in, and it should have been put to rest. He never should have been allowed to be a part of this charity organization, which allegedly he's made a lot of money and tax benefits from that. Go ahead, Richie.
Yeah, but this whole thing reeks of scam, similar to the BLM movement or a pyramid scheme, right? Look at this guy's LinkedIn profile, right? It's ridiculous what's going on there. And the fact that he claims that by using him and his accounting techniques, he can save you 80% of your taxes. Are you kidding me? Who in their right mind would even think about using this guy? Yet other Secret Service agents were doing this. This is absolutely ridiculous. You know, there are two federal agencies, and I think Frank will agree with me, that are absolutely terrifying and that you would never want to have set their sights on you. One of the postal inspectors, because if you have a house full of mail and it doesn't have your name on it, you got a big problem. And then two, it's the IRS, because when they come after you and they set their sights on you, going to jail is the least of your problems. They will seize everything that you own, right? But this guy's running wide open. Nobody shut this down. Apparently it's been going on, you know, since the day he was hired. You know, how is this allowed? But it just speaks once again, you know, is anybody running this show at the Secret Service? And it just doesn't seem like it.
So the answer then, because we have, this is not the first story we've had. You think there's an opportunity for a change at the top?
I think there's always an opportunity to change at the top. The problem is, look, the president, we've had this discussion before, is very comfortable with his pick, Sean Curran, mm-hmm. right? He feels very secure in having him there, particularly in light of what Sean did, you know, following the shooting in Butler. But as I've said, I think the mistake that was made is that Sean Curran should never have been appointed director of the Secret Service. He should have been left in place as the agent in charge of the Presidential Protective Detail. That would have given the president a much greater level of comfort, because he would have had the opportunity to see Sean and interact with him, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the guy has proven, and from the people we've spoken to in the field, he has proven he's just not up to running a multi-billion dollar organization and putting that place back on the right track. And you know, proof is in the pudding. We've been here a year now, and we haven't seen anything change. If anything, it's gotten worse. Hence all these stories that are coming out.
Yeah, it is true. I have seen firsthand, and as we all have. I mean, when you get old enough and you've been around the block, you do see people that maybe are fantastic at their job. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be fantastic at having more responsibility, right? I've seen fantastic detectives, but they were only good in that role, and getting promoted past that point, they utterly failed. And I get what you're saying.
Hey, when you have guys sitting in a lawn chair on First Avenue during the United Nations General Assembly, falling asleep and leaving an M4 unsupervised while they use the men's room because there's no fear of repercussions, there's no thought about, this is no big deal. What does that say about the level of respect between the headquarters management and the troops in the field? It tells me there isn't any.
Good point. Well, guys, are you ready to go to our first story with the video component?
Sure, bring it.
All right, let's see. We got about a minute and 50 seconds before we take our next commercial break, but we haven't had a video story yet, so let me hop on this one. At Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, we have a suicidal guy with a knife, ends up being fatally shot by a San Diego County Sheriff's deputy after he called 911.
Gary, stay where you are. Go get a beanbag. Sarge, grab a beanbag in my car. Gary, don't do it.
So the bad guy called 911. We're at a place called Imperial Beach, California. Cool name. The San Diego County Sheriff's Office. They released this video. Deadly deputy involved shooting that occurred at Imperial Beach on December the 21st. So the body cam footage shows the moment a San Diego County Sheriff's deputy shot and killed a guy identified as a 51-year-old named Gary Gates. He'd reportedly approached deputies while wielding a knife. And the incident happened about 1:30. So the middle of the afternoon, Imperial Beach, there was a festival going on. The deputy was working there at the time. And Gates, our bad guy, speaking with the deputy. His name is Maxwell Hammond. And so Deputy Hammond tells Gates, hey, back up. Gates complies, but then he pulls out a knife and he tells the deputy to get his gun out and not to miss. And then he advances on the deputy, who complies and fires and doesn't miss. He hits Gates, and Gates later dies at the hospital. So he got what he wanted. Commentary on this one, guys, we got 38 seconds. Whoever wants to take it first. So I see a mad rush for the open the microphones. Looks like Frank's going to win this one. So go ahead, Frank.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Rich, for standing down. I just want to say that it's a use of force issue, obviously. And when someone has a knife and he's coming towards you with a knife, that is deadly force. And you're authorized to use deadly force to neutralize the situation. That's exactly what the officer did. I don't see a problem with it.
And the hit ratio went up with this cop. So I was pleased to see that with the deputy. Commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Secret Service Special Agents in Charge, retired Frank Loveridge, Rich Terapoli. And thank you guys so much for being on the show. Man, you guys have been just knocking it out of the park with these Secret Service stories. And I mean, you know, it's good and it's bad. You know, I mean, it's unfortunate we have to cover the Secret Service, but it's good that we have you guys to do it. So, I mean, you know, we get the inside scoop. You know, I've worked a lot of Secret Service details, but I'm still learning stuff from you guys about stuff going on behind the scenes and how decisions are made on how they do stuff. It's great. So I love having you guys on the show. We just covered this last story where it was pretty much suicide by cop. And our deputy, he was told by the bad guy, get your gun ready and don't miss. And of course he pulls out the knife and he advances on the deputy. Any more commentary on that? And if not, we've got a couple of stories on hold. We can either cover the update article and that's the one involving the Judge Dugan could be impeached, they say, before she ends up getting sentenced. Or we have some other videos, but we have a Monterey County deputy that ends up getting deputy shot an armed man through the windshield. We can cover that one next. So your choice, guys. What is your preference? If you guys have one there. Rich?
Hey, let's go after the judge.
You want to go after the judge?
Oh, that fires me up, these crazy judges. Absolutely.
Well, I haven't used the source before, but hotair.com is the source, all right? So I'm being upfront about that. Every once in a while, I'll get caught with my pants down on a source. But until I hear something bad about the source, it looks like it's a legit article. Judge Dugan could be impeached before she gets sentenced. So in this article, Judge Hannah Dugan, and if the name sounds familiar, you don't know her, you will in a minute, was convicted nearly 2 weeks ago of one felony count of obstruction. And according to our author, now this is written by John Sexton. I got to tell you, I like this author. I like the way he writes and how he processes information. And you know, by the way he writes, the thought process. So he goes, it seemed pretty clear, and this is him talking, that the failure to get a conviction on the other misdemeanor count had everything to do with the judge's instructions to the jury. And then he explains it. So, as the jury deliberated, the question came out, did Dugan, the judge, need to know the identity of the man immigration agents were seeking to be found guilty of concealing him? And the judge responded, yes, that she had to know. And so the jury voted to acquit her on that particular count. But then he goes on to say, as a jurors munched on pizza, another question came out, and it was the same question as the first. Did Dugan need to know the suspect's identity to be guilty of count two? This time, the answer was different and more vague. So the jury found Dugan guilty on count number two. So in any case, what usually happens after conviction is that the judge sets a date for sentencing. And so far, though, Judge Adelman has not done that in Judge Dugan's case, which, according to our author, is unusual. And I have to say, from my experience, it is too. U.S. Judge Lynn Alderman has not set a sentencing date or even ordered a pre-sentence investigation. That usually happens right away. The pre-sentence investigation, background check by federal probation officer. They go details of the crime, defendant's criminal history, personal life, victim impact statements, all that kind of stuff. And goes on to say how it's unusual for a judge in the Eastern District of Wisconsin not to immediately order the pre-sentence investigation and set a sentencing date after the jury returns a guilty verdict. But he kind of has a hypothesis on why. After Adelman read the verdict in December the 18th, Dugan's defense team said that they would ask him to overturn the verdict. The team indicated that they're going to argue that the judge's answers to the jury on those instructions, that they were unclear and possibly improper, and judicial immunity is likely to come back as an argument. Now, it's a fact that Judge Adelman did not set a sentencing date, and that will indicating whether to overturn the jury's verdict, and they're wondering if that's the reason why. So too early to say, but it seems safe to say that he's taking the motion seriously, and a decision won't be made until March on this one. There's some other stuff in there. I'll let you guys, I want to give you guys, stuff to talk about, but we got 5 minutes, 5 minutes to go, guys. So Rich, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I love to see stuff like this. Actually, I'd love to see her go to jail immediately, but hey, let's start with the disbarment first, and then go after this woman. But these activists,
Rich, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
But just for there perhaps are people watching the show that are unfamiliar with the whole thing about the illegal and who mm-hmm. shows up to take custody. And if you don't mind, or I can do it, but could you refresh the minds of the people that are listening to the show and remind them exactly what the judge is guilty of before we, to kind of lead them down the road a little bit.
Sure. Well, without boring people too much, basically, you had a judge who was sitting on the bench, had a defendant appear in her courtroom. Federal authorities showed up and said, hey, Your Honor, we're here. We're taking custody of this person. This person's here illegally. The judge then, makes it a point to facilitate this illegal alien walking out the back of the courtroom, down the hallway and out of the building, resulting in a foot chase out in the street, where the federal authorities had to go chase this guy down. So basically, she's impeding a federal investigation, interfering with federal agents, interfering with this whole illegal alien ICE process, because she's another one of these woke liberal activist judges that we're seeing all over the country, with this Trump derangement syndrome. And yes, I'm becoming to believe more and more that is in fact real. And she thought she should just get away with this without any repercussions. So it's about time that, the federal authorities are starting to go after these people. And I love every minute of this. There's a whole list of federal judges judges like this that need to be locked up and put into federal custody.
Yeah, Richie, I'm just going to say one thing, and that is that we have to hold these judges accountable. Yep. She broke the law. She has to be held accountable. What if someone got hurt during that foot pursuit? If you watched that foot pursuit and went down an alley into the streets, someone could have been hurt, all because she decided to let her politics rule and let this individual escape from the custody of the ICE agents that were doing their job. No way can we tolerate that in a society. We have to hold these judges accountable. She's 66 years old. Who knows if she'll just go into early retirement? But I will tell you this. She needs to do some jail time to send the right message
yep.
to all the judges out there. That needs to happen.
But you know what, Frank? These people don't care. So I totally agree with you. What if this guy did run through, you know, a crowd of people and start slashing people and, you know, somebody gets into a... These judges do not care about this. We've seen this all over the country. So the fact that this woman, 66, 76, I don't care what she is, you know what? It's got to start somewhere. I would love to see this lady behind bars.
Agreed.
Wow, that's not the first judge we've had an issue with, too. We had a judge harboring, you know, an illegal at his yep. residence and pictures of them with the gang connectivity, guns. Well, but what a statement that would be for this judge actually to get some time. Now, the article was talking about the impeachment of the judge before the sentencing takes effect because there's no sentencing hearing. And, you know, yeah, that would be refreshing. That would be a statement. That would be a massive statement.
Listen, these judges are a bunch of whack jobs, right? The public is now, the curtain's been pulled back where the public mm-hmm. is seeing this more and more. And everyone thinks these people are high and mighty and they would, you know, they'd mull over their decisions and send bad guys to jail. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Most of the time, they're releasing bad guys back out into the public to continue to do these things over and over and over again with very little repercussions. You know, the public would be amazed. And you can do this, right? Federal courts are open. You can just show up if you got nothing to do and watch a proceeding and see what these judges are all about. You will be amazed at the thin line between a federal judge and a mental patient, right? It's unbelievable what goes on in these courtrooms and on the schedule. You want to talk about a waste of time and money. These people show up on the bench when they're damn good and ready to show up on the bench. They'll think nothing of keeping a room full of, you know, law enforcement officials waiting and the public for hours until they, you know, until they finish their ham sandwich and they're ready to sit on the bench.
You know,
right? Frank has seen it, right? I'm not making this up.
I was just going to say, going back to New York, we both worked our field office in New York City, and we were involved in the Southern District of New York and Eastern District of New York. Yep. And we had some judges that were literally, I would say borderline, I won't say mentally ill, but they were very strong personalities. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, you had the one guy in Eastern District. There was a federal judge in Eastern District that was 96 years old.
Yeah.
He would routinely sleep on the bench in the middle of a proceeding, right? You had the other judge in Southern District whose only other accomplishment prior to becoming a judge and a prosecutor, she was a Playboy playmate. You tell me what's going on here. This is ridiculous. And and not to mention this Judge Boasberg, that presided over the drug proceeding.
Horrible.
That guy belongs in prison. Come on.
Yeah. Well, guys, we are out of time. What a fantastic show. You guys did amazing. So thank you guys so much. I am, you know, to Rich Derpoli and Frank Loveridge, former Secret Service special agents in charge. Yeah, you guys knocked it out of the park. Hey, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, but a good 501c3, not like the one the Secret Service guy started. But, you know, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other things. You know, he's not helping you save 80%. On your taxes, on your tax returns either, you know, but then that's why I support them monthly, because I'm not worried about getting embarrassed by supporting them like I would, you know, BLM or some other people that have got egg on their face from supporting other organizations. So, and guys, don't forget about our sponsors as well. Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearner.com, and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells and Fish, OrlandoBass.com. Thanks for watching the show. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.